verse 10. We've done 1 Corinthians 1 through 9, and then we're going to be doing 10 through 17. If I get more time with regard to that, I'll add some things to it. One of the very first books of the Bible I ever did was the book of Corinthians. And that's why I was a teenager at that particular time. That's been a long, 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 long time ago. So I enjoyed doing the study the very first time I did it. So what I'm going to do is start in verse 10. I don't know how long I'm going to go, but I hope the Lord would bless you in a mighty way. I like to go verse by verse. I think it's easy to remember. It's good to have a notebook, piece of and paper to write down what is being said, and you go back and look at it later. And then, you know, if you got a notebook, then you can also go back and 2 or 3 years later and look at it. So I like to keep things in a booklet, and then you can look at it. And that's a good way to do it. It really is. So we're going to go ahead and get started. Let me go ahead and have another word of prayer. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be in your house this evening. We're thankful for all the blessings, Lord, that you've given this little church. And Father, we're thankful for those that are here this evening. We're thankful for all the blessings that you've bestowed upon this little Baptist church here in Bancroft. And Father, we pray for the people that are here. We pray for revival in our nation and revival in our country. And we pray that you'd help our church, Lord, to continue to grow. And we pray, Father, that you would touch souls in a mighty way. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Now, last time I was in 1 Corinthians was 1 through 9. So I'm going back and going to start again with verse 10. And then I'll work away and see when I'll quit. So verse 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, he says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye speak the same thing, and that ye have no division among you." Now, beloved, that's a big thing right there. You can have a church, and you can have a church that has a lot of people in it. You can have a church that's seemingly doing good. But, buddy, I want to tell you something. When division hits, that's when it gets tough. All God's people say it. I mean, division can start with anybody. Now, I try to keep everything down, you know, with regard to that types of things. But one person can't do it. We got to watch yourself. Let me say it one more time. You got to watch yourself. And if you don't watch yourself, if you police yourself, if everybody did, it'd be great. But I think it's important because division can take over in a church, and that's all they do is fight. And I've been in places like that before. I'm like, man, I don't want anything to do with that kind of stuff. It's a horrible thing. It's a horrible thing. So he's no divisions among you. And you got to make sure that you honor that. Because, you know, I don't know if you've ever had it. I've been here forever. I've been here forever. And I've been here when there have been divisions and quarrels and things of that. And it makes you not want to go to church. Literally, it makes you not want to go because there's so much strife and things, and it makes you not want to be there. It's not fun to go to church when people's mad at one another. It's a horrible thing, but it happens, and that's why he put it right here in the Bible. No divisions among you. That's what he wants you to do. And the reason why he put it in there, because he knows there's always going to be problems with people. There's always going to be problems with people. Everybody's different about certain things. And that's why it's very dangerous sometimes that people can fall into this trouble of divisions. We want to have what? Unity. We want to be one in Christ. And the only person that can do that, I think, is the Holy Spirit. I think the Holy Spirit works that in God's people. There's always going to be, at times, divisions. Sometimes that take place in churches. But you got to, what is it that you say, nip it in the bud. Get rid of it. Get rid of it quick. And if somebody's done something to you that's hurt you, you know what you need to do? You need to go tell 10 other people so they can hate them too. Is that what it is? What do? You go to them. Listen, you hurt my feelings. What you said really hurt my feelings bad. And a child of God, a true child of God, would look at that person and listen. If I hurt your feelings, I'll make that thing right. All God's people say it. I'll make it right. If I said that, and I've done that before. I've got up before a congregation before and said, I shouldn't have said what I said. All God's people say it. So you got to be able to get rid of that thing. And you can't hold grudges with regard to people. It's a horrible thing. As long as people hold grudges, it'll always be, the church won't grow. It just won't grow when churches do that. I've seen churches was huge where I went to different places and preached, and then they're just small. What happened? Quarreling? Just quarreling. I can't handle that kind of stuff. I think God's people should be one. We're here to teach the scriptures, pray, spread the gospel, reach out. We got a lot of work to do here. And when you do these things, guess what grows? So that's what I look after, man. There'll be divisions. Anywhere you go, there'll be a division at one time or the other. You just got to know how to handle it. But what most people do? They'll get over here and they go, well, did you hear what they said? Did you hear what they, did you see that? Next thing you know, you can just see half on one side, half on the other side. I can't handle that. I don't like it. I can't worship that way. God's people has to be one. God's people has to be one. And that's the way that it works. So the first thing I want you to see, no divisions among you. If you write in your Bible, right there's a good little thing you should write. No divisions among you. Now he goes on to say, I'm still in verse 10. He said, having the same mind. We think the same way, spiritually. And that's what he's talking about. And that's a great thing to have in a church. I'm telling you, it's a great thing to have in the church. Stay with me. Verse 11 now. Now, of course, this the book of Corinth was written by the Apostle Paul. Okay? And here's what he says. For it has been declared to me of you, my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there are what? Contentions among you. See, there's the contention part. It talked about division part in verse 10, then contentions in verse 11. You see that in verse 10 and 11? And remember, this is a letter. Y'all realize this is a letter. He's writing a letter to the church at Corinth. That's what he's doing. Then over time, they put it in the canon of Scripture. I'm glad they did, aren't you? All of those books of the Apostle Paul, they have in a book. But again, he mentions no divisions. Verse 11, he says, there are contentions among you. And what does contentions cause? They cause splits. Hey, can I ask you a question? I don't want you to answer it really, but let me ask you a question. Have you ever been in a split? Have you ever seen a church split before? I'm just asking to yourself. Man, it's a horrible thing to be in one of those. It's a horrible. How many's ever been one? Raise your right hand. Oh, yeah. And that hurt lingers all their days unless they forgive it. Most people don't forgive it. You know what they like to do, don't you? They want to tell their sad tale of how they treated me at that church. That's what they do. Instead of going and get it taken care of. Man, I've talked to people before, and they were mad at me. And I said, well, now I didn't think I was wrong with what I said. Okay? I didn't think I was wrong in what I said, but I said, I want to tell you something. If that hurts you, I'm sorry for it. If I hurt you, I'm sorry for it. Sometimes God's faithful have to do that. But you know what happens, don't you? What do we got that? We got that pride in us. Man, we got that pride in us. They ain't going to talk to Jeff Arthur that way. See what I mean? You got to get rid of junk like that. That's not good for your church, and that's not good for you either. It's not good for you at all. It'll suck all the strength out of you spiritually. God wants you to be close to Him, but as long as you have this type of stuff in your heart, you won't grow. You won't accomplish a thing. So you got to get rid of it. All God's people said. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, it won't happen here. I've seen it happen years on by before. I've been here a long time. So you got to watch contentions and divisions, and we must love one another in Christ. All God's people said. That's the way it's got to be. Must be. All right, let's move down to verse 12. Now, this I say, every one of you says, I'm of Paul. The church of Corinth is a mess right here. That's the only thing I can say. They're fighting over everything, it seems like. Now, let me show you. Now, this I say, that every one of you says, I'm of Paul. So they had a certain amount of their people were of Paul. See the division right there already? Now, this I say, every one of you, I'm of Paul. Now, here's another preacher named of Apollos. Now, they were dividing under him, too. So you had an Apollos faction, and then you had a Paul faction, and then you move down to verse 13, then they bring Christ in it. No, I'm of Christ, but it's kind of an arrogant kind of thing. It's what it is. It's what I think it is. So this Corinth church, man, just in these 10, 11, 12, and 13, it was nothing but a division, fighting over it. Beloved, the devil can cause things like that, do you think? But don't blame it all on the devil either. Don't blame it all on the devil either. Sometimes it's people's flesh. It's just the people's flesh. They don't do anything about it. If you have an odd against somebody in this church, you should go make that right between them and you alone. And it works. That's in Matthew chapter 18. And you get that thing out of the way. And you go on worshiping with the Lord. So you got to get rid of things like that, because I'm going to tell you something, beloved. The devil will use things like that to tear churches all to pieces. All right. We want to have no divisions. Verse 11, no contentions, and we're not to be divided. That's verse 13. You see all three of those? You got to make sure you do that. Now, you can't watch everybody else. Here's what I've always found out. Watching yourself is pretty much a full-time job on your own. You got to watch your tongue. It's a wet spot where plenty of people mess up. So you got to watch your tongue. Contentions, divisions. Verse 13, is Christ divided? So he's coming down hard on this. Now, are we above that? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So we always have to watch after that. God's people is to love one another. Y'all believe it? We're to love one another. Help one another when they need help. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. Our doctrines and teachings and things we're all pretty well together. So that's why we're here. So be careful of contentions, divisions, and these things that comes up. Because the devil will use things like that and tear churches apart. All God's people say it. All right, let me keep rolling. He says, I thank God that it seems like Paul's a little agitated sometimes, but no wonder what he put up with. He had put up with some things. He says, I thank God that I baptized none of you. That even sounds mean, doesn't it? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest you would say that I had baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the house of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. Verse 17 now. For Christ sent me not to do what? Christ sent me not to baptize. Now, let's stop for a moment. Does Christ want us to baptize? Absolutely. He means for you to be baptized. Okay? But the way they did the ordinance, the fighting and not waiting on one another and all these things, it was just a mess. They needed to get back together and be on the same page is what they need. That's what he's talking about. I thank God that I baptized none of you. Because of their baptism, because they were doing it in a wrong way. It's mad, fighting, quarreling, all these kinds of things. Verse 15, lest any man should say that I baptized in my own name. After I baptized the house of Stephanus, besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. All right, verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the what? Love of the gospel message is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes it. And beloved, if you're born again, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to take the gospel message everywhere you go with you. Y'all agree? Take it with you. You have it in your heart. Sometimes God will you'll be in a situation and somebody might be talking and they talk to you and next thing you know, you find out they're a Christian or they go to church or whatever. But you seek to witness to people. Beloved, we gotta reach out for lost souls. You just gotta reach out for lost souls. People in your family, people you go to school with, in your community where you live, there has to be a reach out. I mean, you just can't lock the church doors and not do anything. You got to reach out. And these things that the church does, that's why we do them. It's a reach out. Get people out. Get people in. So that people can get saved. And hey, it's a wonderful thing. Vacation Bible School is a wonderful thing to use. Won't be long, that'll be hitting, won't it? It's a wonderful thing to reach people. Pray for that. Pray that the Holy Spirit would move in it in a mighty way. Them kids get everywhere in Vacation Bible School. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to see and to be a part of. Okay. All right, I'm going to move down to 21, then I'm going to quit unless I get worked back up. Verse 18 verse 18, 1 Corinthians 1. For the preaching of the cross, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Have you ever seen anybody that thought spiritual things was foolishness? Have you ever worked with anybody like that? You ever been around people like that? They kind of mock it. There's a lot of people that do that with regard to spiritual things. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the what? Can anybody tell me what the gospel is? Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel message. That's what saves your soul. That's what gives you eternal life. That's the salvation message. That's why God's people's got to know it. And you pass it on to your children and your grandchildren too. You know what I want? You want to know what I want of my grandchildren? I want them to have eternal life. I want them to go to heaven one of these days. That's what I want. People live for all kinds of different kinds of things, but the main things they don't. The main thing is Christ. The main thing is having eternal life. The main thing is going to heaven at the end of your days. That's the main thing. And that's what we teach our children. Eternal life is the main thing. That's the main thing. When I put people down in that haven of rest down there, what matters? Were they ready or were they not? That's the main thing. All right, stay with me. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolish. You know, men make and mock, like I've already said. They call it foolishness. But they won't think it's foolish when they're sitting in hell one of these days. That's not foolishness. Mm-mm-mm. All right. For after the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Who carries the message? Lord's churches carries the message. Lord's people carries the message. To see people saved, you gotta plant seed. If you don't plant any seed, nothing happens. Got to plant. I'm going to stop with that. And I think I quit at 21. Did I quit at 21, Bertha? 18. Man, I thought I went farther than that. You want me to keep going? No, I'm just teasing you. That's all I'm saying. I'll start back, good Lord willing, at 18 next week. And I love the book of 1 Corinthians. You enjoy it. It's a good text. I mean, everything in there is just absolutely what you want to have in a person's heart. But if you're here today and